We've been studying the book of Romans for a couple of years, and we're in Romans chapter 13. We're not in any big hurry to skim through this book. And one of the things that we first learned when we started this study is, to whom is this book written? And that's important. In our house, my wife gets mail, and I get mail. And so I'm careful to look and see what letter I'm qualified to open and what letter I need to leave alone. And it's important to know to whom a letter is written. And the book of Romans is written, the addressee to the book of Romans is found in Romans chapter 1 verse 7. And it says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. This book of Romans is not written to lost people. This book of Romans is written to save people who are beloved, who are called, and are saints. And by the way, the word beloved, the word called, and the word saints are all adjectives describing those to whom Paul is writing. And when we think about the called, we're thinking about those, or Paul is addressing those who have ears to hear. If you don't have ears to hear, you're sure not going to be able to hear a call. And so Paul is addressing those in Rome that are saved. And not just simply saved, but they have matured. They see the value of living a life that is holy. The word saints comes from the Greek word meaning holy. And so these folks are holy. And I think that a lot of people today talk about everyone who's saved is holy, but I can tell you I was saved in one period of time when I was in the Navy, and I was not holy. That's all there is to it. You can be saved and unholy, but God wants us to be clean. The word holy has to do with being clean. And it's on our initiative that we choose to live a godly and clean life. Now, in Romans chapter 13, we're looking at the last verses of this chapter. And I want to read for us Romans 13, 11 through 14. And knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If we're making provision for the flesh and the lust of it, I assure you we are not living a holy life. And so Paul is saying in these verses is that that the time of the Lord's return is very close, is very near. And of course, that was 2,000 years ago. And so here we are living 2,000 years later. It's even closer than it was in Paul's day. I was thinking the other day when I was going into the quarry down here to Rainbow Food to pick up a few groceries. And as I was sitting at the light, and I was thinking about the message this morning, I was thinking about the fact that the Lord's coming can be any time and any day. I do not know when it's going to happen. And if the Lord's would come while I was sitting at the red light to turn left, then my car would roll out into the middle of the intersection, and it could cause some accidents, possibly death. And I thought to myself, if I really believe that the Lord could come any second, any moment, that when I pull up to a red light, I would put my car in park. That way, it wouldn't roll out into the intersection if the Lord come and got me. Well, I didn't put the car in park, but you understand what I'm saying. We need to be living so that we are ready for the Lord's return any time. And we want to be clean when He comes. We don't want to be have sin in our life that is not confessed. And that's the reason why we don't have to wait till we have breaking of bread to confess our sins. We can confess them any time. And the shorter the time, the better. So, here in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, it says that in knowing, and really the verb here is to perceive and to see. In other words, we ought to be able to observe things that are going on around us that tells us that now is the high time, or knowing the time, that we can tell that the Lord's coming is very close. And knowing the time, of course, Paul told those at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 and 2, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So we know that the Lord's coming, and His coming will be as a thief. He'll sneak in here and get us and get out. We'll get out. And and he says, I don't need to write to you about the times and the seasons, because we don't know when that's going to be. There's no need in me trying to tell you when the Lord's coming. I had a friend of mine over the phone in Chattanooga talking to him. He has a friend that says the Lord's coming this spring. We have a friend who lives down in Kansas City, and she was reading a book several years ago that was telling her that the Lord was coming in 2004. Well, obviously, that didn't happen. And there was a time back in the mid-80s where a man wrote 88 reasons for Jesus coming in 88. So people are speculating when the Lord is coming. You know what? The Lord doesn't want us to know when He's coming. You know why? He wants us to live every minute of every day as if He's coming the next minute. And you know what? If we live that way, we will not put our guard down. We will say, if I make this choice now, I may regret it if the Lord comes. And of course, we might regret it even if He doesn't come. But we want to make choices that honor Him, and not satisfy the lust of the flesh. And most people today are operating in the flesh, the feel good, do it mentality. So we can see the times. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, it talks about the end times. And it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And the word iniquity is the Greek word anomos, or no law. It says that because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Are we living in a day of lawlessness? Absolutely we are. And it says the love of many shall wax cold. This reference to many here are to the many that are called unto His kingdom and glory. This is having to do with saved people. Saved people's love is waxing cold. The Lord said to His disciples, if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. Many of God's children are not even interested in the commandments. Many of God's children are not even interested in what God requires of them. They're not reading their Bible, and they're not studying it. And you know, God wants us to know what He requires of us, and He wants us to be obedient to Him. So, we're living in a time when lawlessness is abounding. In Luke chapter 17, verse 26, it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also, or be also, in the days of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah, how was it in the days of Noah? Well, Genesis 6, 5 tells us, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of his thoughts, of his heart, was only evil continually. And I don't have to bring out newspaper reports and articles to prove that. We see that on TV. We see that on the campuses. We're living in a time when people are imagining evil things. They're thinking up evil things to do. More wicked. More evil. When I was in high school, there was only two drugs that we had to deal with. That was tobacco and alcohol. There wasn't any other drugs in our high school that I know of. But anyway, we're living in the days of Noah. Also in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, it says, the earth also was corrupt, and the earth was filled with violence. Do we see corruption today? Absolutely. We see corruption in government. In fact, there was a man who was just sent to prison for 30 months this week for corruption. And so the earth is corrupt, and the earth is filled with violence. And we see that in every news report. How many were killed? 13 were killed. 5 killed. As you look back over in Iraq and other places around the world. Also, we're in Luke chapter 17, verses 28 through 30, it says, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Well, in other words, they went on with life. But the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Judgment is coming. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin. In fact, in Genesis chapter 13, verse 13, it says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Exceeding sin. And God judged them. In fact, there was a time when God associated the nation of Israel with Sodom and Gomorrah. In Jeremiah 23:14, it says, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. Prophets are those who are to reveal God's will and God's truth. And the prophets in Jerusalem were horrible. In other words, they weren't preaching the truth. They were preaching warm and fuzzies. They weren't teaching the people what God requires. That's the reason why it's so important to us in this place, to teach the Bible. That's the reason why we have Bible in our name. We want to study the Bible because we want to know what God wants us to do. Because you know what? I want to stand in His presence and hear, well done. The prophets in Jerusalem were horrible. They committed adultery. And, you know, we've just been in recent news, preachers committing adultery. Walk in lies. They strengthen also the hand of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. And they all of them, and they are all of them unto me as Sodom, and inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. But the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah were horrible when it comes to Bible teaching. They weren't teaching the truth. They lived in adultery. They lied. They strengthened the hand of evildoers. And they didn't help anybody to turn from wickedness. You know, Daniel speaks of those who turn men to righteousness. You know what? If you turn men to righteousness, you're going to shine in the kingdom of the Father. You're going to be noted, and you're going to have honor in the kingdom of our Lord. And when I'm talking about kingdom, I'm talking about the millennial reign of Christ. Today, the teaching is blended, the kingdom, with the kingdom of heaven, which is the millennial reign. When I'm saved, I don't get in the kingdom. When I'm saved, I'm born into the family. The kingdom is later. The kingdom has to do with Christ ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. So, we're living in the days of Noah, and we're living in the days of Lot. And so therefore we know that the Lord is coming soon, and so therefore we need to make some changes in our own life. It's time to wake up. What can happen to us is that we can become spiritually indifferent. We're not keen. We're not fervent in our spirit toward the things that belong to the Lord and that honor the Lord. In the middle part of that verse, it says, it's high time to awake out of sleep. And the word sleep is the Greek word hypnos, from which we get hypnosis, a stupor. There are a lot of God's children that are living in a fog, in a daze. Why? Because they don't know the Scriptures. They don't know this book. They don't know it. And we need to wake up. Now, waking up is one thing. But this word wake up means to get up. We can wake up laying in bed and not accomplish a thing. When you wake up, you need to get up and get on with doing things that please the Lord. And so, we're not to sleep. 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us, you're all the sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and an helmet, the hope of salvation. What does it mean to wake up? Well, first, one of the things we need to do is we need to put on some armor. We need to put on the breastplate of faith and love. Faith is that which pleases God. Love is what manifests that faith in caring for one another. We were talking about that earlier, or last week, about caring for a neighbor. And so therefore, waking up and not sleeping allows us to put on a breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. Have you ever tried putting armor on in bed? It doesn't work too well. It's not easy to do. You do that standing up, and we take unto us the armor. Now, looking at some of the words in these verses, it says, let us not sleep. And this is in the present tense. Continue to sleep. You can hear a message on wake up, and you can roll over. I did that this morning. We have a clock that chimes every hour and every half hour. And so this morning, I heard the clock go off, and I counted 1, 2. Well, I knew what time it was. It was 2 in the morning. You know what I did? I rolled over. You know what? I'm ringing an alarm right now. And the scriptures ring alarms. It's not time to roll over. And this word, kathudo, has to do with spiritual indifference. You find it when you apply it in other passages of scripture. It's spiritual indifference. And we're not to be spiritually indifferent. It's not a time to roll over. It's time to watch. And you know what? That word watch is in the present tense. We are to continue to be watching. And we're, and the word sober is also in the present tense. When I think about watching, I think that you need to be aware of what you're watching for. You're not watching out the window to see if it's snowing. We do it more here in Minnesota than most places, but what are we watching for? We're watching for the Lord's return. And while we're watching, we need to be sober. Now, I think of sobriety having to do with not being intoxicated, but it also, being sober, has to do with self-control. We need to be under control of the Lord and not under control of some other substance. And so this is also in the present tense. Be in control. And notice that sleep comes in the darkness. One of the things that I heard on TV was that to get a good night's rest, you need to cover up the dial on your clock. The dial on my clock is very bright, and so it makes the room bright. And so to get a good night's rest, you need to be in the dark. And what this is talking about is not nighttime. This is talking about being in the dark on this, the scriptures. If you're in the dark on the scriptures, then it's easier to roll over, go back to sleep. It's easier to stay sleeping. But when you have the light of the scriptures, it's going to encourage us to watch and to be sober. Because those that are out of control are going to be drunk, present active. And they're going to be drunk in the nighttime. In other words, they're not going to be... in other words, their activity is going to be at night. I just think about what I do when I wake up at 2 in the morning. When I wake up at 2 in the morning, I begin to think about those who need prayer. And I begin my prayer list. Or who needs special prayer. Pray for my grandchildren. I pray for those in the church that have special need of prayer. And you know what? It isn't long the devil puts me back to sleep. At least I think that's the way it works. But it doesn't take long and I'm back sleeping again. But at least I'm spending some time in prayer. And so therefore, when I am watching and sober, I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to have the breastplate and I'm going to have a helmet. And notice that it's the breastplate first and the helmet second. So when it talks about the hope of salvation coming second, you discover that there is more than one salvation mentioned in the scriptures. We're going to talk about that in just a second. And this hope of salvation has nothing to do with being born from above. When I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, I was instantly placed into the family of God. I became His child. And there is nothing that can change that. And but there is a salvation that we need to hope for. And it's not something we possess now. And in fact, in the latter part of verse 11 of Romans 13, it says, "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." When we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we were in the family. This salvation is not talking about that one. It's talking about another salvation that's coming. Another salvation. And it's for those who are already saved. Now, in Acts 16, 30 and 31, we have the story, or the end of the story, of the Philippian jailer. This is the only place in the Bible where saved is in the question and saved is in the answer. The only place. There's no confusion about how to be saved. The Philippian jailer says, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul told him, "Believe." And Paul used a very important grammar application to that word, believe. He didn't use the present tense believe, because if he had used the present tense believe, it would have meant as long as he believed, he'd be saved. And when he quit believing, he'd be lost. Paul used the aorist tense of the verb, which is unique to grammar, or to Greek, and you graph that grammar, the aorist tense, with a dot. Believe, dot, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. It's an event. That is known as the common salvation. In Hebrews, and by the way, let me just bring this out. In Romans chapter 13, 11, it says, "Now is our salvation." There is a definite article, "the," before salvation. It's talking about a particular salvation, not the common salvation. Okay? The salvation. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" I had never studied the word "great" in this verse until this week. And this, the Greek word translated "great" is a combination of three Greek words. And the three Greek words are this: the great, this salvation. In fact, the word "this" comes from the article "the." The great, the salvation. And this is a salvation you can neglect. You cannot neglect being born from above if you have been born from above. You can refuse to be born from above, but when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're in the family and nothing can reverse it. And you can't neglect it. It's done. But there is a salvation that's so great, salvation referred to here, that we can neglect. And what salvation is this referring to? Well, in the latter part of that verse it says, "Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him." What salvation was Jesus Christ teaching at his beginning ministry? He was preaching, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The salvation that's in this verse has to do with the millennial reign of Christ. And if we neglect that salvation, we will lose. Lose what? We'll lose opportunities to rule and reign with Christ. If you're unfaithful now, He's not going to give you responsibilities of ruling and reigning over any cities. If you can't be faithful right now, He's not going to put you in trust with any responsibilities in that day. So we're on trial. We're going through tests. And we can neglect the coming salvation that's nearer than when we believed. Okay? Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, It says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with age-lasting glory. The word eternal comes from a Greek word that should be translated age. It's an adjective. The Greek word is a noun. It's used as an adjective. And the way you would translate it is age-lasting, to make it an adjective. Let me just make this comment. There's no single Greek word that is translated eternal or eternity. Not even in modern Greek. The way the Greeks say eternity in the New Testament and in Greece is from the ages unto the ages. From the ages plural unto the ages plural. That's how the Greeks in the New Testament say eternity. And so this is talking about a particular age. It's talking about the age, the millennial age. And notice that this salvation is for those that are in Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're placed in Christ. And this salvation is for those that are in Christ, and it's dealing with the elect, the chosen ones. In 1 Peter 1:9, and I don't think we're going to get through all these verses this morning because time has expired, but in 1 Peter 1:9 it says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Receiving the end of your faith. Faith has to do with pleasing God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And if you finish pleasing God, finish your life pleasing God, you can expect the salvation of your life. When? In the kingdom. In the millennial reign of Christ. And this is the salvation that we are anticipating. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, we have another reference to this salvation. Talking about the Lord being made perfect. He became the author of age-lasting salvation, or the salvation for the millennial age. Unto all them that what? Obey Him. And you see the word obey? It is present active. Faithfulness and obedience. The present tense means all the time. Active voice means the subject does the action of the verb. This is my responsibility to be obedient to Him if I want to enter into the salvation for the coming age. And so we need to, and I'm going to bring our message to a close now rather than continuing on into verse 12 and following. We need to anticipate the fact that there's coming a day that we're going to be judged about our lifestyle and the way we live. And actually in verses 12 through 14, it's really talking about casting off the works of darkness. Don't submit to the things of the flesh. You do this, in other words, if you live in the flesh, you're not going to be ready for the Lord to return. In fact, you're not going to want Him to return at all. It'd be better for you not to. I have been by the bedside of those that are dying, and they hadn't been living for the Lord, and they knew better. And you know what their dying request was? I want you to do everything you can, possibly, to keep me alive. You know what? They didn't want to go home and meet the Lord. They weren't ready. Their lifestyle wasn't ready. And if you've not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're definitely not ready. It's the lake of fire. So may the Lord help us to realize what day we're living in and wake up and get up and get ready for His return. Put the car in park. if you're at the light. Okay? I think you understand that. Father, I just pray that you bless these thoughts to each of us today. Help us, Lord, to stand in your presence approved. Help us, Lord, to stand there and hear a well done, good, faithful servant. Knowing that we've been faithful over a few things, we will be made ruler over many things and enter into the joy of the Lord. Thank you again, Lord, for your presence with us and for your ministry to us through the Scriptures. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.